overall strategy presentation from Systems Group. We have front-ended it with a couple of positioning charts on on-demand to allow you guys to get into an on-demand discussion with your customers. Right? This presentation is posted. I do not have handouts. I apologize. We were strictly or instructed to not bring handouts. I don't know why. But I think people think everybody has PDAs and, I don't know, can memorize stuff. The good news is this presentation is fully scripted. And I'm telling you, it is fully scripted. It really, truly is. And it also has speaker notes. And the reason I know that is I did the speaker notes. I took the script, and over the holidays, I took out key things out of the script that I wanted to make sure that I would remember to say, and I put them in the speaker notes. So I then sent the presentation back to our writer, and I said, make sure to rewrite the script. If there was something I really didn't like about the way the script delivered it, we changed it. So we've tested this. Right now, for those of you who think I've done this 100 times, and therefore that must be why I know it, this will be my 7th time doing this pitch. And the reason I tell you that is, this is not the presentation you're going to download the night before the call. This is fundamentally our strategy. So when you get back, if you haven't done so already, you need to download the presentation, and you need to download the speaker guide. The speaker guide is where we have the script, but we also have a lot more references in the speaker guide than I was able to cut and paste into speaker notes. So, 3 things I want you to do when you get back to your office. If you downloaded this presentation anytime prior to January 10th, I would encourage you to download it again for 2 reasons. The presentation prior to January 10th does not have speaker notes in it, and the presentation prior to January 10th has a blatantly misrepresented TCO chart that if the lawyers saw the one we put in there, they'd fire me. So you absolutely should download the new one. The fact is some people are coming up into the front rows now. I can move up. Okay, the second thing is print this off in speaker note format. All right, this is what speaker note format looks like for those of you who are freelance challenged. All right, it's a function. Go into your printing setup. What it'll do is it'll print off each screen, and it'll print off the speaker notes that I put in there for you. And that becomes important, obviously, because you need to memorize the major pieces of this. You can say it any which way you want, but this will be real helpful for you as you begin to look at the flow of this presentation. Okay? So those are just some logistics. One other thing, for those of you who are kind enough to fill out the evaluation forms, I really appreciate that. I want to just make sure everybody understands that a 1, this is not PBC's, a 1 is not good. Now, I cannot tell you the number of people yesterday who wrote on the bottom, great presentation, and gave me all 1s. The computer, this little thing that's going to read these, hasn't a clue. Now, not that I care that I get a grade at the end of the day, but Leslie Benway cares, right? And there are a bunch of people who are going to decide whether or not we ought to come back next year. And for the 6 or 7 people yesterday who gave me predominantly 1s, they may not let me come back. So if you don't like what I'm doing, you can give me a 1. But if you like what I'm doing, I need a 7. All right? That's over on the right-hand side of this. All right? Some people are... Yeah, pardon me? Yeah, right. I'll give you the chance to do that. Okay. All right. So I think I covered kind of my logistics stuff here. Let me make sure because we had a lot of people. This is modular. This is in freelance. It'll also be in PowerPoint. Pick the charts that you like. I'm going to tell you the 2 charts you want to make sure you remember before you leave today. But pick the ones that you like and work with it. Now, how many people here are ESMs? Great. All right. How many folks are product specialists? Yeah, all the product specialists, by the way, both yesterday and today, are in the other sessions because I'm right up against the P forum, and yesterday I was right up against the I forum, so I didn't think we had any. Client reps? Great. Welcome. Technical specialists and business partners. All right, good. Predominantly ESMs. That's goodness. We expect you all to understand and deliver this presentation. We'll help you get there. But the answer is not call Cheryl next week and see if she'll come visit my customer. Right? I will help you deliver it, but I'm not coming out to 26 more customers to deliver it. I don't have the funding, and B, I have a 3-year-old at home, and I'd like to see her grow up. So let me try to do my best to take you through an educational view of this. All right? And my final point is, this is a complex story. How many of you guys think you have a simple job? So why would this be a simple presentation, right? This mirrors the job you're doing. You, particularly as ESMs, represent the IBM Systems Group, and therefore you represent IBM eServer, and you represent Total Storage, right, as you move forward in your job. But let's just for a minute talk about IBM eServer. It is a brand, and we are all stewards of this brand, right? This presentation is about increasing awareness, consideration, and preference. Our customers should understand, we need to help them understand, that IBM eServer is an overall value of the IBM Corporation, and it's a strategy that we have incorporated across our series and our divisions to help improve speed to market, to help bring better products to market. So you want to tell them the whole story. So it is complex. I will tell you, if you do this presentation a couple of times, it really does start to flow. It'll get easier. And most of you guys know the detail parts underneath this presentation better than I do. So let me take you through it. From an on-demand standpoint, one final note, there is an on-demand module. If you go out to the System Sales website, which is where this resides, everybody know how to get to System Sales website, right? If you go to System Sales website, you'll see the Why IBM eServer presentation. You'll see speaker guide. You'll also see an on-demand front end. That is a set of charts to help you articulate a little bit more about on-demand. The purpose of the on-demand front end here is to really give you a placeholder to begin talking at a high level with your customers about on-demand. Okay, so that's the structure here. The second thing is we want to show through this presentation how IBM eServer addresses the business and infrastructure needs of your customers today, as well as setting them up to begin to establish an on-demand operating environment, which is how they begin to get the benefits of being an on-demand business. Okay? And as I mentioned, it's a marketing presentation. This is not intended to replace a detailed P-series or I-series presentation or a detailed story about autonomic computing. If your customers want to learn or know a lot more about autonomic computing or grid, you'll want to present them a more detailed presentation and probably with assistance from someone that specializes in that field. All right, so on-demand. Everybody yesterday heard about on-demand. There's some simple ways I like to think about on-demand. It's responsive. It's a customer trying to become more responsive. They've seamlessly integrated their business processes. I'm able to then respond with speed. That was one of the fundamental statements about the description of on-demand. I can respond to the changing requirements in the marketplace with speed. All right, the second one, I want to be variable. What that means is I'm going to look at different ways to manage my infrastructure. I'm going to vary the cost structures. That's important because over time the complexities become greater, and I want to be able to vary the ways that I'm deploying the infrastructure to meet my business needs. I'll give you some examples of that in a minute. I want to be focused. IBM has tried very hard in the last couple of years to really drive home being focused on things that are core competencies for IBM, right? Managing HR, while it's critically important, is not a core competency of IBM. We're not going to win more business in the marketplace because we're doing a really good job managing our HR, right? So outsourcing HR for us makes intelligent sense to then be able to use our resources better in the areas where we can reap business benefit. And resilient. Resilience all about really two things, external forces and threats, as well as being resilient to unexpected demand. So capacity upgrade, you heard about the other day, is an element of what you can sell today to help your customers become more resilient. A really good story a couple of years, gosh, it's probably been 2 years now, but the very first time that Victoria's Secret did a live webcast, right? And I see a number of people shaking their head. We were right there with system crash. They absolutely underestimated the number of people that really wanted to see really skinny women walk around in lingerie. I don't know why they underestimated that. I don't get that. But anyway, yeah, a lot of people wanted to see that, right? Crash the system. So being resilient doesn't just mean avoiding hackers or threats. It means being resilient and being able to then respond. So an on-demand business is all of these things. All right, so that's sort of a quick primer. Now let's talk about a couple examples. These are all in the script. All right, Aventis, you heard about that yesterday a bit. They had four different sites around the world, Frankfurt, Paris, Arizona, and New Jersey. All right, speed to market's critically important for pharmaceutical developers, right? And so in this case, they truly federated their databases. They created a virtual portal. They used DB2 Joiner. Right, and all their information now is in databases that every one of their researchers and pharmaceutical doctors can access immediately, and they're truly beginning to have on-demand messaging. Think about same time, right? We all kind of make fun of same time. Same time is a very simple view of on-demand communication. Well, if I have the ability with all my data, my research data, to be able to use a collaborative tool like Lotus Notes, right, to have communications, and for everybody on my call to be able to see that same research information in a database, think of the speed upon which I can make decisions substantially better. They went from 5 days to 2 hours in their ability to make some decisions. Okay, so that's an example of becoming responsive. Right? Variable cost structures. Empire Blue Cross Blue Shield was spending a significant amount of their dollars just processing claims. Right? They don't significantly improve how they run their business by getting the claim processed faster. They make the customer happier, but they needed to be able to have a better way to do it. So they worked with IBM to outsource just the claims processing part of it. Right? So if they had substantial spikes in claims, then they paid more. But if the claims processing volume went down, they paid less. It's really simple. So it was a variable cost. They estimate they save about 25% of their claims processing cost now. They take that and funnel that back into some CRM applications, which help them learn more about their clients and their customers. Okay, so an example of being variable. Another one on variable, Mobile Travel Guide. This one was a startup. Mobile Travel Guide had been in business for a while, but what they decided to do was put a very advanced website out there so that their travelers could go do their vacation planning and to be able to do research on where they wanted to go. But the business model didn't close because they didn't want to have their summertime and their wintertime holiday capacity be limited by their infrastructure. But for them to put the capacity requirements in place to address those peaks meant that the business case didn't close. Right? So they worked with IBM and they implemented this website using Linux virtual services. Right? It resides on a Z series. Mobile Travel Guide could care less that the fact that they're not actually processing it, and they pay for it on a variable usage basis. It allowed them to do startup work, but also be in a position to anticipate the spikes. Okay, so another good example of variable. And resilient. I think one of the BP outsourced their financial administrative information. University of Penn I think people are pretty familiar now with the mammography examples. Again, descriptions of this in the speaker guide. IBM's really important. We actually have taken well over $6 billion worth of cost out of our own infrastructures, partly from the integrated supply chain, but also from additional areas that we are beginning to outsource. HR is one area. Someone give me another example of something that we've outsourced in the last couple of years. A lot of manufacturing. What did you guys all just get in your mail recently? This is something my 401k. Right? Hewlett Associates we just switched over to Hewlett Associates to do 401k processing. Is that fundamental to us being a winning technology vendor in the marketplace? Absolutely not. But is it critically important for us to do it well? You betcha. I don't want anybody messing up my 401k. So another example of where we've started to outsource allows us to stay focused, number one. Resiliency. IBM.com truly achieves a 99.999% availability. They do that because they've implemented IBM eServers, they've implemented Total Storage, they've implemented systems management with Tivoli, they utilize WebSphere application servers, they've taken the entire integral applications and systems that IBM offers, and they're managing it the way we want our customers to manage it. That's what's allowing them to maintain a 99.99% availability, which is critically important. So they're resilient to downtime as well. All right, any questions on those? I know I get a real high-level primer, but I'll try and give you some examples to bring it home to you. All right, so where are our customers today? Next slide talks about this, different numbers you'll hear, but access, about 68 to 70% of our customers are in the access stage, 25 to 28% of our customers are enterprise integration, and 4 to 6% of our customers are moving toward on-demand. Yes, it is predominantly in the high end right now, but over the next number of years, this is going to continue to move, or customers are going to move through these stages, and you'll see our medium and even our small businesses move over into being able to implement on-demand kind of strategies. Okay. a good example in the enterprise integration stage of IBM. Enterprise integration means I'm integrating internally the processes as well as externally. So we've talked about a bunch. I know a number of y'all heard me use my airline example. The reason I love this is because I stayed on profs till about 3 months ago, and my boss finally refused to pay my TEAs. But if you think about what you have to go through 2 years ago compared to now, think of the touch points that take place when you ordered your ticket to come here, right? You called American Express, you got a ticket, they sent you an AirWeb, you may or may not have printed it off. If you're like me, you didn't print it off, right? You show up at the airport, you give them your driver's license, they give you a boarding pass that you hold for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, you give it back to them, you get on the plane, you come out here. You might replicate at some point out here, and if you bought your ticket ahead of time like you were supposed to, then at least a week in advance. Then when you get on the airplane to go do your EA 2000 on the way home, that charge is sitting at EA 2000. Now, how did it get there? Right? It's magic. It got there because we are integrated externally with suppliers and vendors. All right, so now I don't have to remember if I actually got a receipt for my ticket, or heaven forbid if I lose my ticket, which you do all the time when you travel. Now I can pull up my EA 2000 and boom, it's right there. I don't have to do anything. I simply just click and it's there. And get rental car, Hertz rental car, that's now loaded in there as well. I don't know recently if you've done a rental car, but you don't get that long receipt anymore from Hertz. Right? Open up EA 2000 on your way home, Hertz rental car is going to be plugged in there, same thing. All right. We then electronically send it in, it gets electronically paid. Think of the touch points, the enterprise integration that was required to implement that kind of application. And think of the ease that then allowed for us and the speed upon which we can then move that kind of money around. All right, so we know where a lot of our customers are. What we also know in the study that we've done, and we've worked with over 30,000 businesses, we know that there's new business attributes that our customers want to get to, right? And from the work that we've done with them as well as our own work, determined that the infrastructures of today are just not built up to be that responsive, to be dynamically changing. So the requirements then of the infrastructure have to change as well. And the definitions or the attributes of that infrastructure is what we call the on-demand operating environment. Now yesterday, you probably saw a chart from Bill Zeitler. It was three bars, right? It was business transformation, on-demand operating environment, and on-demand offerings, right? On-demand business or business transformation, that's this middle box on this screen. On-demand business attributes, that's business consulting services. We bought PwC to plug right there in the middle of this chart. PwC, or BCS as we know it now, is all about helping our customers learn how to become an on-demand business. And you want to be working very closely with your BCS manager in your account to begin to learn how to talk to your customers about applications that can help them become more oriented toward being an on-demand business. That middle section, the on-demand operating environment, is where we play. It's about becoming integrated, open, virtualized, and autonomic. Those are the attributes of the infrastructure that's going to be needed so that customers can be responsive and variable, focused and resilient, okay? That third element, by the way, on-demand offerings, we'll touch on that at a high level. That's really about new ways to acquire and manage IT, right? And I'll give you some examples of that as we go through this. But I want you to, this is one of those charts I want you to print off and keep in your whatever you use, your folder, your ThinkPad, wherever. But I want you to remember this, because the right-hand side of this chart, integrated, open, virtualized, and autonomic, are the new characteristics that you want to help your customers be thinking about when they're making decisions. So if I'm buying a new server or I'm implementing a new application, I not only want to think about what is that application going to do for my business and what is the server that I need for that business, but I want to begin to measure it against this new decision criteria. Right? Is it going to allow me to become integrated? Does it truly comply with open standards? What kind of virtualization capabilities does it have? And does it have any autonomic features? Right. We'll talk about all of those in a minute. All right, any questions on the difference between on-demand business and the on-demand operating environment needed to support that business? Kind of high level, but okay. Let's just take a second then and let's talk about how our customers make decisions today. This will be the interactive part. When your customers have a business problem, what's the first thing they have to think about? They've kind of identified, right? They're in this middle stage. They figured out a business application problem, or they figured out a business problem, they have a general idea what they want to do, what's the first thing they tend to go do?
Find the application.
Yeah, absolutely. They find the application. Let me tell you why I want to take you through this at this level. This is called the IT life cycle, and McKinsey Group did a study a couple of years ago, and they said that this process is what all of our customers go through. And the important aspect of this is that the IBM eServer initiatives are going to align to this process. So let's go through this, all right? First thing they do, our next chart will kind of build this for us a little bit, all right? Somebody already gave me the first one. They look at applications or solutions. What's the next thing they do? Where do you run your applications? Okay, this is the hardware part of the story. This is how you get paid. All right, the next thing they do, right, is they look at a hardware platform. I'll help you through this a little bit. What do they do next? What do you have? You buy some software and hardware, then what do? You got to get it installed, right? Then what do you do? And this next one's a bit tricky. Customers have consistently said over time that they need to become more efficient. So our next section then is they work to become more efficient over time. And finally, they have to pay for it, and it has to stay within budget, all right? This is the fundamental cycle all your customers go through. For the most part, everything your customer does goes through this phase at some degree. Right? And it's really not necessarily linear like we show here. Sometimes they'll bounce around in between, but they'll go through this stage. They'll take their projects through this stage. Right? IBM eServer initiatives then align to support these stages for our customers. Right? And that's the next new news about this presentation. The IBM eServer initiatives, when we first announced IBM eServer, were application flexibility, innovative technology, and new tools for managing e-business. It was the way we wanted to articulate the elements of IBM eServer. Right, we've changed that a bit, partly because of feedback from customers, and partly because we hope that this will be an easy way to talk to your customers about it, because what we think the re-swizzling of that is really talking about the benefits to the customer. So it's application flexibility, leveraging technology or technology leverage, risk mitigation, and we'll spend time on each one of these, infrastructure efficiencies, and TCO reduction. All right, so this is the second chart I want you to print off and keep in your workbook. All right, the first one talks about what on-demand is. What is it? Where are we going? This chart talks about how we're going to get there. So IBM eServer is the how of this story. All right, on-demand is the what, IBM eServer is the how. Now, this is important because this is really the value proposition of IBM eServer. Remember, we talked about this as a marketing presentation. This is in the sales cycle 1 and 2 and 3, in the early stages of talking with your customer at a CIO level. You saw the video yesterday about Ford. Did the account team make their way into that account because they were talking about P-Series or I-Series or X-Series or Z-Series with the first, second, or third level managers? Right? The answer is no. They talked about the overall horizontal story at a CIO level. Right, and this is a way to do that. All right, so let's go through this a little bit quickly. Application flexibility is about open standards. It's about Linux. It's about open middleware, which is going to become important as you move into an on-demand environment. And it's about our partnerships. When we first announced IBM eServer 2 years ago, how many partnerships were we claiming we had? Karen, do you remember? 30,000. Karen Knight's with our executive communication team. I'll pick on Karen a little bit. 30,000 business partners were what we were claiming. How many do we have now? 60,000 business partners. Why did 30,000 business partners move their applications over to IBM? Because it's really proprietary and closed and hard to do business with? No. Well, not easy to do business with. But because of open standards. Right? I mean, you're an ISV. You're doing application development. What is critically important to you? Mass appeal. You have to be able to sell your software in many places as you can, right? So that's a proof point of open standards. Not a definition of open standards. It's a proof point of open standards and the flexibility that we're allowing our customers with choice and our ISVs, right? So that's just a tidbit that I want you all to understand. Okay, so open standards. Web services, that's how we make applications talk to each other in really simple ways using protocols like SOAP and WSDL, right? Simple object application protocol, web services definition language, right? Those are the way things talk to each other. I have no clue how it works, all right? The important part is it complies with open standards, and we are absolutely driving this activity for IBM. All right, the Globus project. Globus is the group that's going to establish grid standards. Right, just like HTML and HTTP and TCP/IP became standards for the internet for how we exchange information, grid's going to establish standards through OGSA. Those are the Open Grid Standards something. But they're going to establish the standards for grid deployment. Right? We're intimately involved in the grid activities that are taking place. SNIA is Storage Networking Industry Association, and 4 years ago there wasn't such a thing as standards in storage. All right, so we've been very involved in driving storage standards as well in this arena. All right, so Linux, it's the next element of this. The Linux deployment strategy spans the multiple ways our customers are looking at using Linux. Linux is a game changer for our customers. Linux frees our customers up in one key area. There are Intel-based applications, personal productivity applications, as well as enterprise applications now that are running on Linux and are spreading across different platforms. All right, so workload consolidation, clusters, application solutions, infrastructure solutions. There's Linux deployments in all these areas. Okay. We're spending $1 billion on deploying Linux. It's critically important to IBM. This is something you should talk to all your customers about. So one of the things that's fundamental to becoming on demand is that you have to become open. And to do that, you need to take a serious look at what your Linux strategy is with your customer. All right? T-Mobile took 25 Sun servers, consolidated it onto a Linux partition on Z series. All right? On the other, that's a big company. Wolfman's, they installed the 330 Linux cluster attached to their I series. All right? So it's not just big business, it's not just engineering scientific. What does Wolfman's make? Yeah, English muffins and these really great bakery goods, all right? It's a commerce site that they deployed using Linux clusters directly attached to their iSeries. Right? So Linux plays across the board here. They get 1 million hits a day during the holiday season. All right? Linux is mainstream. You can talk to your customers now about deploying Linux applications. The concept of write once, test once, deploy many, that's a Linux strategy, right? All right, and it supports open standards. All right, last section here. We've talked about open standards, that's foundational, right? Linux is a driving force in I want to write new applications using Linux, or I want to look at the Linux solutions that are out there. Now, the next level is you have all these other applications that are already in existence. To become an on-demand kind of implementation, I now have to begin changing the way our applications integrate. Right, so we use that word integrate. Integrate means I'm going to integrate horizontally. Right, I'm no longer, traditionally we integrate in silos. Right, I have an application, it runs on an operating system that runs on a piece of hardware. If I'm going to truly have enterprise integration in my business, both internally and externally, I have to begin integrating horizontally. So the applications have to start talking to each other. We have over 120 strategic alliances that we're doing work with to begin to have those applications talk. Now, what's the glue then? How do they do that? Right? They do that through open middleware. Right? And that's the open element of this. And open middleware rises above the infrastructure. All right? So I don't keep writing to the operating system. I write to the middleware. Right? iSeries folks know this story, right? Doing that for a long time. I write to this middleware. This becomes the glue then that starts tying all these applications together. And our investment in open middleware is significant. All of our middleware is tuned for Linux. We're continuing to comply and drive with open standards across all of our middleware. We've recently purchased Rationale software, which are tools for development to plug in here to continue to enhance our open middleware story. So you need to know enough about what software group's doing to be able to talk at a high enough level about the open middleware strategy, because that then decouples this from the infrastructure. And that's how I begin, right, to do virtualization. I'm going across servers and across storage. And notice it says non-IBM servers here as well. Long term, we have to be able to virtualize across servers and storage as well as non-IBM servers. All right, so that's first area, application flexibility, open standards, Linux, open middleware, and partnerships. The technology standpoint, our customers in this area have said that they want a leader. It's going to help them tie all the pieces together. It's not just about performance, but you can't get away from the performance story, right? It's also about choice and flexible growth. I was at a meeting recently, and somebody said, you know, patents really don't matter. And I'm going to challenge that statement. Patents matter because it's a validation of our intellectual capital. Right? This chart's now out of date already. 2002 patents came out, 3,288. By the way, 60 of the patents that we just received out of that number are specifically for on-demand features in our hardware and our software technologies. All right. So patents turn into technology. Here's a quick technology discussion then. Copper and silicon and insulator, those were critical changes in the technology because they sped up the way we were able to move information across our systems, right? And they reduced the power. What happens when you send information around really fast? It gets hot. Think about it. What happens if you move around really fast? You get hot, right? So if we move electricity, if we move bits and bytes around really, really fast, it gets really, really hot. And what happens when machines get really, really hot? They blow up, right? So from a reliability and availability standpoint, it's not a good thing if we can't maintain and improve on how we cool our systems. So copper wiring and silicon and insulator, while they seem a bit mundane, are critically important. If you go down to the Blade Center demonstration today, ask them what that midplane is built on. It's built on copper wiring, right? That's to allow significant amount of movement of data back and forth. Mundane, critically important. All right, what did we do with the Power4 microprocessor? We took all of this really dense, fast-moving stuff, and we put two dual processors on a chip, first in the industry. Power4 brings mainframe class technologies to our mid-systems, right? Our I-series and our P-series now have Power4 processors. You'll see us move Power4 into blades as we move into the second half of this year, and we're taking that Power4 technology all the way across that product line. Right, you heard about Power 5 coming next year. There's a Power X after that. Right, it's a design philosophy. The Z900 multi-chip modules. We've been doing MCM since 1979. This isn't a new thing. MCMs are about density, right? Multi-chip modules. The Z900 takes these copper chips, thin films, a ceramic substrate, right, and packages transistors, 2.5 billion, I think, transistors. You know, on chip, right? That makes it very dense, highly logic dense systems, right? That's important as we need to move forward and the capacity requirements increase. P690, I think most of you all understand, we just talked about up to 8 Power4 chips on a single module on Enterprise X architecture. Enterprise X architecture is this type of technology moved down into the Intel-based systems. So I get scalability. I have expand on demand features in Intel, right? So I can add processors in I/O and memory in an Intel space, right? So it's scalability in what has traditionally never been a scalable design, right? So we take all this technology and we turn it into servers, and we then take those servers and we measure it against our competition, right? Benchmarks are important only in that they're a validation at a point in time. But we consistently outperform our competition. We win more benchmarks than all of our other competitors combined in the industry-leading benchmarks. Right? And in things like e-business, core e-business, and ERP applications, of the top 20 benchmarks that are considered industry standard, right, we win in 16 of those. Our next closest competitor wins in 2. So you're in a battle. They're going to pull out whatever that one benchmark is that they're winning against. You want to talk to your customers about what we're doing with technology across our product line, and we get validated by a broad range of benchmarks that tell us that across our product lines, we're doing significantly better. Okay, that's the technology discussion. Now, why are we able to do some of that? And this is the second thing that's important. Shared technology is a strategic change over the last 5 years. For anyone who used to work either in Poughkeepsie or in Austin or in Rochester, they didn't spend much time talking to each other. Right? We are a single company with shared technology now. So we share components, right, at the hardware level, processors, right? We begin to leverage our technology across all of our platforms. You see that now with shared technology across IP Z and X, right? We just talked about how we cascade some of that down. We then, that allows us to then focus on series-specific requirements and on autonomic computing capabilities. So why do you care? What does this mean to my customer? Well, it means that we're not spending our time trying to figure out how to make the chassis work. We're spending our time on things like virtualization and partitioning and dynamic logical partitioning, right? Systems management. And if we figure it out really well in our Z series, we're going to let our other series play in that. All right, so there's no bad choices with our series any longer. Van Simons used to say there's no bad choices. That's really important. Our customers know that we're going to protect their investment across all of our series and into our storage. Okay. All right, so why do we have all these servers? Right, yeah. We used to have a tagline that said, no one server meets all your e-business application needs. That was directly towards Sun, actually. We were trying to compete against the market force 3 years ago when Sun was telling all the markets that the only thing they needed was Solaris. Right? It didn't meet all the requirements of the infrastructure. There's unique requirements, whether you're an edge server, an application server, or a data server. Right? 90% of the enterprises out there have more than one architecture. Right? The 10% of the customers that don't are running their business on a PC, and we probably can't afford to call on them. So, is anyone have a customer that has absolutely no Intel? Right, real world. So, we have to have architectures that meet all these requirements, and we do that with our family of processors. Right? 65% of our enterprises have three or more. Think of the management requirements when that begins to happen. Okay, so our eServer family, quick spin around the chart here. I'm not going to take you through this at great length other than talk about Z-Series, legendary quality of service, right? I-Series, an integrated and interoperability system. In the session yesterday, they said they're going to quit apologizing for being integrated. It's now cool to be integrated, right? And integrated and yet open. The ability to run Windows, right? Linux, OS 400, Java. That's a great definition of an open system. Right? It's our I-Series. They have a great reference, by the way. I think if I can remember the name of it, I apologize. It's in the Northwest. I believe it's Wesco Aircraft. And they consolidated all their compact servers onto the integrated X adapter. Right, and they did like 20 compact servers onto a single integrated X adapter, and they improved their management capabilities of all of these servers by like 25% to 30%. Right, so clearly the concept that I can integrate X applications together with my mainframe type applications in the I series is a great testimony to what they're doing there. Okay, P series, outstanding performance and reliability in the Unix space. Right, from entry-level P-Series all the way up to our supercomputers. Right, the Department of Energy just awarded a $260-plus million contract to the P-Series to install two supercomputers, right, to run their design and development work. They'll do 500 trillion transactions per second. That's what your brain does if you've had coffee. Right? I don't know what it does when you don't, but 500 trillion transactions per second, right? That's huge. So supercomputing, we're doing extraordinarily well with supercomputing. And a number of the examples that you've heard recently, the Celera Genomics, where it used to be Dells, you know, or Digitals, and then it was Compaqs, and then it was HPs, and they just keep throwing all that stuff out because none of it works well, right? And they're now, they have P690s now doing the mapping of our DNA structures. I want them to get that right. You know, so I'm excited they've moved that over to P690. All right, and our X series, right? End-to-end portfolio, right? Simple systems all the way up to 16-way. X series last year won something like 28 first place finishes going head-to-head once we get to four-way and eight-way processors. I'm not trying to imply that a one-way isn't good, but from a server standpoint, all right, it's four-way and eight-way that you're going to be implementing in the X series systems, and the IBM systems director, right, is critical to systems management in this X Series space. I was at a session this morning, and they said 20% of our customers have deployed IBM Director. If they aren't using IBM Director, you want your customers to understand IBM Director, and you want to get them to use it. The word was that it's sticky. Right? Once they see IBM Director and things like software rejuvenation, right, and capabilities, you're not going to have this box fight on a daily basis in the Intel space. All right. Let's take 30 seconds to talk about clusters. Clusters are tying this stuff all together. Clusters are heavily focused in supercomputing. There's also a Linux deployment on clusters with the 1350 and Blade Center. The session was this morning, but you should make sure you understand. Blade Center is really the first true IBM eServer announcement. Blade Center combines storage, servers, systems management capabilities, and applications. It's a deployment strategy of deploying Intel in a new, fast, modular way. Right? There was a study done at the end of last year, 150 mid-sized customers, 60% said that there was enough difference in what Blade Center did that they would consider changing vendors. Right? In the Intel space, we have a very hard time getting customers to consider changing vendors. Blade Center is huge. No single point of failure. Right? Instantaneous detect and deploy capabilities. Right? You heard AOL, the example of AOL. They have server farms that fill up football fields. Right? And they moved over to Blade Center because of the speed upon which they could be deploying these servers. So a very exciting product line. All right. Our next chart talks about then the server growth. We talk about having this flexibility of architecture. It's not just that we want to meet the architectural needs of our customers. You want to talk to your customer about the flexibility of growth. I can scale up using logical partitioning, virtual servers, and implement a server consolidation strategy. I can scale out by doing rack density or rack optimized systems or blade centers. Right? Clusters kind of gives you the best of both worlds. It combines servers, right, in a unified resource strategy. But this is really important because customers can have a choice. I want to scale up with some of my primary applications. I may want to scale out in some of my unique applications. I have the ability to do both with our servers today. All right. And the next area that becomes critically important then is what do I do about storage? All right. And this is new news for a lot of us, but storage, IBM Total Storage Solutions, complements what we're doing with IBM eServer. Right, there's a complete portfolio, tape, disk, SANs, NAS, right, systems management software that manages all of this. Now, virtualization is only as good as far as I can go. Right? If I virtualize my servers, that's really exciting, but if I can't virtualize over my data, and if I don't have interoperability, then I'm very limited in what I'm doing. Right? So storage is equally committed to driving open standards, and it's fully tested on all of our servers, as well as, by the way, some non-IBM servers. It's actually good news. Go get in their backyard and make them try and defend themselves. Right? And a coherent service and support strategy, particularly as we move into true virtualization, that's going to become important. Right? And autonomic capabilities. Again, autonomic capabilities within a server is great news, but if it also isn't part of storage, it becomes a real problem. So if you remember at the beginning, I said, have your customers measure their decisions against not just how much it costs or what's the speeds and feeds, but is it integrated and open, virtualized and autonomic? That's the new decision criteria you want to push them on. All right, quick snapshot to say, what does that look like then for us? All right. We have multiple different types of architectures. Customers are buying Intel, they're deploying Unix, they have a mainframe strategy, right? They're deploying iSeries, we have storage. Systems management capabilities with IBM Director within our Intel space, it's second to none. It's significant in what we're doing with IBM Director, right? In the Unix space, the P-Series is doing significant work with advanced virtualization technologies like Dynamic LPAR and AIX workload management. Sun's domain strategy is not dynamic and does not allow you to do this extensive number of partitions that P-Series does. So as you get into doing virtualization and server consolidation, the number of partitions you can have and truly manage dynamically becomes very important. All right. Our Z-Series, the Intelligence Resource Director, is a set of management tools, systems management tools. It's absolutely second to none in the industry. And customers then, they define how they want to manage their business based on a set of rules. They define them. And then IBM Resource Director manages that right from the heart of the data all the way to the edge of the network. All right, so it's not just about managing a server, it's managing the overall systems. And that's what we do with Intelligent Resource Director. iSeries as well with advanced virtualization. I need that coffee. Advanced virtualization technologies. Same thing holds true in the iSeries. You know, the LPAR capabilities with iSeries have been there for a number of years, and continuing to be able to deploy multiple operating systems is a strategy that you'll continue to see from them, and storage being open across all of our systems. All right, so what's the next step, right? Where we go? What are some of the technology roadmaps that are important? Well, grid enablement becomes important. We'll talk about grid in just a minute, all right? Better virtualization capabilities, better logical partitioning capabilities within Intel. You'll see some of that with the Blade strategy. All right. Utility-like pricing. iSeries announcement on Monday, the first announcement for on-off capacity. Right. That's really cool. Right? And that you get like 14 days that you could actually just turn it on and use it and turn it off. And then you have a spike and turn it back on again and turn it off. Right? So the concept of I can do capacity up and I can take capacity down helps customers become more resilient, right? Habaco, you heard the announcement. That was how I think they used it in the main tent, right? Habaco. It really was a conversation over the phone. They were saying, "Oh my God, it's 15-second response time." You know, I wouldn't stay on their website at 15-second response time, right? They're a customer for life now because literally they sent encryption codes with passwords over the phone, and they were able to enable those servers. The servers are already there. We're shipping the servers in all these systems, right? That's an incredible value add for what we're doing. And they won't be going anywhere else, right? That is a very happy customer. All right, let me hit on the next three things relatively quickly and I'll wrap this up, right? We talk about open standards or application flexibility. We talk about technology leverage. And everybody has a sense of saying, okay, I get that. And more often than not, we forget to talk about the rest of IBM, this Team IBM strategy, right? Customers, if you go out and you study customers right now, some of them get the open thing. Some of them will say, yeah, I absolutely understand IBM has the best technology. Right? But fundamentally, every single customer that's ever done business with IBM will tell us we have the best customer service and support. If you are not talking to your customer about Team IBM, you're leaving half your team on the bench. Right? It's critically important, and this is a differentiator. And it's not just Team IBM, but it's our offerings that we've packaged together to help them mitigate risk. Right? What do I mean by that? I'll tell you, we'll talk about that in a second. Our Team IBM chart here. I like this chart. It's kind of circular. It tells people a little bit about everything about IBM on one chart, right? Business partners bring solutions. Global services helps them keep their systems up and running and does a tremendous amount of business process work with them. BCS, that's the business process reengineering arm for IBM. Testing centers with both Total Storage and all of IBM e-server centers. E-server centers, how many folks have taken a customer to a center, to whether a briefing center, right, Watson Research Lab, right? You got to use those. We're spending billions of dollars keeping those places up and running. There's brilliant people there. You want to take your customers there. I know very few customers who come to briefing centers, see a briefing, and go home and the performance centers and the service centers, okay? Global financing really helps our customers. You get global financing folks involved in your account. They do a great job helping our customers figure out really creative ways to implement projects over time, right? We've already talked about Open Middleware with Software Group, and I mentioned the Watson Research Lab. This is a new news thing, right? We opened up IBM Research in the last few months to allow researchers to have direct interaction with our customers. So if you have that really, really brilliant guy in your account that just doesn't believe anything or that anybody can tell him what it is he needs to know, work on getting him an alliance with someone in the research centers. Okay, these guys are brilliant.
Where's the design center, EBOS, located?
There's actually, I think we have 7 or 8 located around. I know one's in Seattle. These used to be the e-business, just the e-business centers, all right, and they're now e-business on demand. There's a, we're not, where are we? We're in Austin. And there's, by the way, Total Storage, they have, I want to say something like 100 Total Storage Solution Centers worldwide. So we're looking at how we combine these centers, so you'll continue to see them be deployed and work in that arena. Okay, I mentioned Advantage offerings. All of our IBM e-servers are built to be able to take advantage of these Advantage offerings. You know, I used to pitch last year, and I used to talk about new tools for managing a business. I used to tell a story about how I never made a sales call without my SE. I started in sales in 1980. There weren't a lot of women in data centers in 1980. And so I took my SE for a lot of reasons. One, because nobody, I had virtually no credibility with, you know, data center people. I built it over time, fortunately. But I always took my SE with me. His name was Tom Kennelly, and I was doing this pitch in New Orleans last year, and he was in the audience. You know, I hadn't seen him in like 5 or 6 years, and I talked about that. But that's what we used to do, right? You used to make a sales call, and you were getting, you know, you were going up against Amdahl or some other main system, or if you were in the mid-range, you're going up against DAC, right? And what did you do? What did you promise? Who was here in 1984 selling for IBM? What did you promise your customer? No, I mean, when you said, if you buy from me, I'm going to do what? We called it value add, right? I'm going to give you this SE over here, all right? And, you know, you left and Tom Kennelly stayed, right? He didn't get to go home. He stuck around until everything was running, right? The IBM e-server advantages. It's Tom Kennelly in a box. You know, he may not like that, but the reality is, we don't have a bazillion Tom Kennellys anymore, right? And for anybody, he's still with IBM, by the way, he's in Orlando. But we don't have to threaten value add. That's what we used to do, right? Well, if you buy from Amdahl, I'm taking Tom Kennelly home, right? You know? And at the end of the year, we'd send that CAPS letter, and we'd say, these are all the things I did for you. It's with, right? It was packaged in there, our price, and this is why we were 40% higher than everybody else, all right? We've unbundled this stuff. All right, here's what we call it now, Solution Assurance Advantage. This is where we used to do systems assurance reviews. Here it is, system assurance reviews. Your customer can do them online by themselves if they want, or you can help them do this. All right, you can pick any solution out there you want. Solution Connection has all of our business partner offerings. You don't have to go figure out what all the offerings are. Get out there. Your customer can do it as well. All right, assessment services, testing services. It's server proven or it's total storage proven. We've spent time testing these things in advance, and it's listed out there which ones are tested, so our customers can say, you know, I wonder if I move this application over to this server, will it run? Okay, we have modeling techniques and tools that are out there. All right, the technical support advantage, it's all those 165,000 people that are providing service and support around the clock and around the world, and our Redbooks documentation. It's actually a demo of the Redbooks documentation in the Solution Center. Right, really good documentation in all of our testing centers. Right? The other three advantages on our next page, capacity, availability, and financing advantage. Capacity advantage is a set of offerings. This is really important right now as you move into an on-demand world, that we need to understand how to help our customers position for capacity spikes. So all of our servers are shipped with capacity upgrade capabilities. Right? The iSeries recent announcement with on-off. All right, step-ahead features with storage. All right, infrastructure on demand, IBM Infrastructure on Demand. This is a global services offering, but it's right now with Linux Virtual Services. We're also, iSeries and zSeries are starting to play in this, where I could actually just use some of IBM's infrastructure on a rental basis. Right. Now, there's also another really important part of infrastructure on demand, and that's backup and recovery. So maybe I don't need to have to manage all that capacity for backup and recovery. And by the way, more often than not, I don't want it anywhere near my main stuff, right? So IBM Infrastructure on Demand is a great, great strategy for backup and recovery. All right, availability advantage. Availability advantage is all about making systems more resilient. If you remember the chart that Bill Zeitler showed, he talked about business resiliency and operational resiliency becoming important. You know, we come up with these really fancy words, you know, business resiliency. Business resiliency means I never go down, right? In an e-business world, you can't have systems that go down. Right, so availability, they'll do assessment services. They'll come out and help your customers understand what it will cost. It's not free. I mean, some of the assessment services are. But high availability isn't free, right? It's an insurance policy. How much do I want to pay to make sure that I never go down? Right? It's up to your customers to make that decision. It's up to us to help them know that we have a tremendous amount of tools to help them do that. So our servers are built more reliably so they don't go down. Right? Our applications on top of that help address that. And how you implement that is part of what Availability Advantage can address. All right, and finally, Financing Advantage. Financing Advantage is just very creative ways, total solution financing, both IBM and non-IBM hardware, the business partner applications, tie it all together, manage it over the life of the project, right? That becomes important. Do back-end loaded leases so that I don't have to have the outflow of cash when I'm doing my testing and design work. Right, really important stuff. Now, I have OIO under here. That's really unfair, right? Because the open infrastructure offering is really not about financing per se, but it is a way to help our customers dramatically change the way they acquire and manage their IT. If you haven't sat in on an OIO, I know most of you are in the ESM meeting. You saw a session on that, and I would really encourage you, particularly if you have larger customers. Right now it's targeted toward the larger customer base, but over time that'll change. Right, they just did a great announcement on W3. It just got published with WorldSpan. Right, that's enough. I mean, they're just about once a week I'm seeing these OIO announcements come out. So very, very exciting offerings coming to place. All right, a few more minutes here. I want to talk about this fourth element. Now, I'll tie you back to this IT lifecycle, right? We help our customers choose applications. We have better technology than everybody else. Through Team IBM and our offerings, we help them get them installed and running. Now we need to help our customers become more efficient over time. Right? Autonomic computing and grid computing are two fundamental elements of helping our customers implement more efficient infrastructures. Right, the autonomic, I think most of y'all understand that, but autonomic, right? Our bodies are autonomic. They do things, we don't have a clue how they do it. It just happens, our body senses and responds, same kind of concept. The CHOP chart is next. Right? Everybody know the CHOP chart? CHOP, right, for those that are new to the CHOP chart, self-configuring, self-healing, self-optimizing, and self-protecting. Right, increased responsiveness, I'm self-configuring, I can adapt to the changing environments. I have business resiliency, right? I figure out where I'm going to have a problem in my system, and I resolve it before it brings my system down. Software rejuvenation, and IBM Director does that for X series, right? It's not Control-Alt-Delete is the strategy any longer. Operational efficiencies for self-optimizing. I'm tuning my resources and balancing workloads. And security. Very, very important security. CIOs still vote that as the most important concern that they have going into 2003. All right, so it's about managing my systems better, becoming more operationally efficient, and increasing my qualities of service. There are fundamental features across all of our products that do this today. Right, I'm not going to read this chart to you, but we are delivering autonomic capabilities today by IBM eServer. You'll want to understand, if your customers don't know the autonomic capabilities and the systems that they have running today, you owe it to yourself and to them to get them educated in this area. Most customers are remiss at really learning what their systems can do for them. Highly encourage you, right, to learn enough about autonomic computing to help your customers understand where they get advantages today and then how we're moving forward. Now, how, you know, when we say how we're moving forward with this, the Advancing Business Council, right, which a large number of our customers telling us what we need to go do next, right, has been adamant in this area in particular, that managing these infrastructures is what is bringing them to their knees. Right? They're spending 40%+ of their dollars just managing their systems and their applications today. They're dying for skills. So autonomic capabilities have become critically important. And we're moving toward an on-demand infrastructure. Well, the things you have to then think about is not just, is my server autonomic, right? Or do I have autonomic features in IBM Director? But how am I handling overall enterprise management, heterogeneous management, IBM and non-IBM systems? That's where we're taking autonomic computing, right? End-to-end systems management. End-to-end systems automation. The number of tasks that our IT sites do that are truly mundane, just processing different pieces of applications, needs to be automated at a greater level. Enterprise workload management. This is the balancing of workloads across systems, not just individual systems, but across the whole enterprise. I mean, security management across the whole enterprise. That's where we're taking autonomic computing. All right, now, that's good news for customers to become more efficient in the operations they have today. It's also fundamental, then, for deployment of grids. All right, so let's take a quick minute and talk about grids. All right. The World Wide Web was about sharing information, right? Gaining greater access to information, sending information to other people. The grid is that next stage. It's resource sharing. So it's sharing of the processors that are out there within a company, with external companies, and across true intranets. Right? So grids are about sharing processing power, and grids are about sharing data. Data grids and processing grids. Right? So I'm distributing my computing over a network. Right? I'm using open standards to do it. You can't go across a heterogeneous network if you aren't complying with open standards. Right? And I'm increasing my server utilization, my collaboration, and my access to data. Now, there were some statistics. I've been at a couple different cities, so I apologize. I don't remember if they were told here or not. The server utilization statistics. Right? I think most people heard about PCs, right? 5 to 10% of the time we're utilizing our PCs. Right. Utilization rates for Unix systems range 15 to 20%. It means they're sitting idle 80% of the time. Our mainframes, the numbers ranges from 50 to 60%. I always get a lot of people going, oh, that can't be true, because so many of our customers are banging capacity, right, in their data centers. But across the numbers, 60% utilization is the numbers we're seeing in mainframes. So they have to start learning how to use those systems better. They have to become more efficient. And the way you do that, then, is looking and evaluating grids. All right. You can give me a good example of a grid, or one of the early grids. Everybody's heard about mammography, right? What was one like 5 or 6 years ago? All right, you have to stay here till somebody gives me an answer. SETI. SETI was one of the very early deployments of grids, right? Search for search for aliens. SETI, people were doing work at night, right? And they were processing, analyzing all this radioactivity that was coming back and forth. And they couldn't do it during the regular daytime shifts, right? So they were utilizing the processing power. And if you wanted to, you could sign your PC up. You could literally go out to their website and you could sign your PC up and say, I want to play, right? And they would borrow some processing power from your little idle PC sitting at home, and you could participate in this grassroots movement that was taking place, right? What's a grid that got shut down recently? Napster. Napster was a grid. Napster was a data grid, right? Gathered data, made it easy for people to collaborate. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to sign on. I'm going to take a piece of that data, i.e. a piece of music, and I'm going to download it to my system. That was sharing of data, right? It wasn't exactly legitimate, but before the record industry took them to court, nobody knew about them except for that small percentage of people that were doing it, right? And then they took them to court, and everybody learned and went out to try to see if they could do it themselves. I don't know if that was a good strategy or not, but anyway, they're a good example of a grid. Okay, here's some examples. In your speaker guide, you'll see examples like these. All right, National Digital Mammography Archive. By the way, University of Penn, this isn't just about that small number of hospitals that have been able to upload this. This is a service now. They're going to start selling to these small hospitals that don't have the ability to implement this kind of technology on their own. So it's a business story now. It's not just better collaboration of data, better processing, better gathering of information, I now have a business case that I can sell this to small hospitals that can't afford that kind of technology. All right? Important thing on this chart, all IBM E servers provide paths for grid enablement. It's the OGSA standards that are coming out at the end of this quarter. They'll be packaged in all of our servers. And to make it truly open, we're leveraging WebSphere, right? And we're leveraging Linux. Those are the elements of grids. All right, last section. How do I pay for all this? Customers are really excited about all this stuff, but at the end of the day, they want to know that the overall systems that they have are driving total cost of ownership, and they're driving that down, right? So to do that, we have to talk about a couple things. Let's talk about the four elements I just talked about, right? Open standards gives better choice. It protects the investments in the application they have today. They can take an application today and move it to a new platform if they need to because of scalability requirements. They can pick and choose what they want. They protect the skills that they have, right? That affects TCO. Server consolidation helps significantly drive TCO. The scalability features of our servers, our dynamic partitioning on our servers, virtualization on our servers, right? Systems management on our servers all drives the TCO number down, right? Risk mitigation. If my systems go down, I lose business. If I have a high level availability because it's built into my hardware, then I have a greater chance of higher levels of business continuity that reduces my total cost of ownership. If I have tools within my systems that are self-managing, I drive down my TCO number. If you're talking a TCO discussion with your customer and you're only talking about one element of this, then you're not going to get the whole story. So you want to talk to your customers about this horizontal story, right? Across the spectrum of our offerings. That's what makes the TCO numbers substantial. And it's not just us saying it, right? CIO View Corp and ITG both do studies to help validate this. Now remember a while ago I talked about how many enterprises have one or more, or, you know, more than one architecture? 65% of those enterprises have more than three. Right, think of the management challenges if you have three or four different architectures out there. It becomes significant. Yes? This is the TCO chart that got changed. Yeah, the one that was out there prior to January 9th was inaccurate. An ESM in a meeting pointed it out to me after I was presenting the wrong chart, and I thank him greatly. Let me explain this chart to you really quickly. I don't want you to get caught up too much on this chart other than it's important. This is a factor of, you know, this is fixed, right? This says if X series costs this much to install a Windows application, then our competitors cost this much, about 11% difference. And that's probably not something to, you know, send your kids to college on, right? Linux, web serving, let's work across, right? An I series versus Intel competition, significant savings in that individual one. But the right part of this slide is what's important. It's the hybrid. It's when you take the management requirements across an infrastructure. That's what drives our competitor numbers up. That's what drives our total cost of ownership down. The fact that we can do it better in a heterogeneous environment across our servers. We have shared technology, shared capabilities, systems management that works across our servers, different parts of that, all right? So that's the real story. That's how you get to the 50% TCO reduction. But any element of this is important. So if you think about the chart I talked about right before this, right, you have to talk about all elements of what IBM eServer brings to the table. That's how you drive that number down, right? There's a TCO session. I don't know if it's already taken place or not. If it hasn't, you might want to attend it. There's a tool out there called TCO Now, and CIO View as well, I think, is doing it. It helps your customers look at all of this. It's no longer about, well, is it just power? You know, do I use less power or less floor space? Our customers don't give us a lot of credit there necessarily. It takes into account all of these elements that we've talked about. Customer can do it by himself, or you can help your customer do it. All right, a quick brag chart. Always have to have a brag chart at the end. We started 2003 the same way we started 2002 as the leading server vendor in the world. We took another point of share away from HP. We don't want HP to get momentum, right? Third quarter, they did surpass us briefly. We took it back in fourth quarter. I'm sorry, in second quarter, we took it back in third quarter. We believe we'll take another point back at the end of fourth. We haven't seen the final numbers yet. Share is important right now because share talks about momentum. And customers buy when they see momentum, right? Why did Sun do so well in 1997 and 98? It was the momentum that took place with dot-com companies. Dot-com companies didn't care at the time, right? Now, one of the reasons Sun has gone down so significantly is because the dot-com bubble took them down and all those companies are now out of business. But they had huge momentum. Right? It was very hard to compete against that. We have momentum right now. We are the right choice. You heard Bill talk about yesterday. So momentum's important, right? Gain points in share. We're the fastest growing Linux vendor. We gained substantial share away from Dell in four-way and eight-way servers. So we're doing a significant lead when it comes to truly high-end servers in the Intel space, right? We're winning awards across the board. Gartner Group has this thing called the Magic Quadrant. And Intel and Unix, was the first time ever a single company has won first place positioning in both Intel and Unix. Right? So these are really important external validations of the story that we're telling. All right, so let me try and wrap up here. How do you meet those needs today? Right? I'm going to keep showing you this chart till you memorize it. But our customers go through an experience. This is what they go through on a regular basis. We've aligned our initiatives to support that, providing open standards, technology leverage so they can put the application where they want to, right? Team IBM to help them mitigate risk, self-managing systems to drive toward becoming more efficient, and total cost of ownership reduction. Right? Now, we started this presentation by talking about on-demand. Let's kind of try and close the circle. Right? Each of these elements are valuable to your customers individually. Right? They will help your customers improve their overall infrastructure. But the important element becomes, how does it drive toward an on-demand environment? And on-demand is evolutionary, right? It's not a rip-and-replace strategy. Becoming on-demand is about becoming more responsive and variable, focused and resilient. To do that, you have to be focused in this middle section here, right? You have to begin implementing systems measured against a new criteria. Where are they at being integrated? How do they comply against open standards? What are the virtualization capabilities across the product line? Right? And how are they at implementing autonomic capabilities? Focus on this middle as the decision criteria. Use the left side of this chart. Our commitments to open standards, our technology story, Team IBM and how we help our customers maintain high levels of business resiliency, driving toward more and more efficient infrastructures, and driving down total cost of ownership. Okay? Measure that against the new decision criteria. That then sets your customers up into moving into an on-demand world. All right. I will close with one chart and then ask for questions. What should you do next? All right. Where do you go from here? Well, talk to your customers about Linux. If they don't have a Linux strategy yet, help them understand what Linux can do for them, the interoperability that it brings, the open standards that it drives. Right? Talk about IT consolidation. I think in the main tent they talked about a couple of key plays right now. Server consolidation is very important because it begins to get everything into a much more manageable system. Right? So consider an IT consolidation line study or a Scorpio study. Right? Or if you're in the Intel space, you've got to talk to your customer about Enterprise X architecture and the IBM Director. Right? Get a briefing in that space. It's really important. Our team in Raleigh does a great job with that. All right? Look at the technical support offerings that are available. Talk to your customer. We take this stuff for granted. We think our customers understand how good we are at all of this. They know we're good at 1-800-IBM-HELP, but there's a substantial amount of services, many of which are at no charge, that are available for our customers today. All right? And learn about on-demand. On-demand assessment, but also things like workload manager and enterprise identity mapping. Those are some of the really new features that are coming out right now with Autonomic. All right, and help them do a TCO Now assessment. That's going to tell them that we're less expensive than our competition. They're going to see that with fact. Right? So and this chart is in the presentation, right? So you can get this. This is just a quick checklist. These are just a couple of ideas. There's a lot more you're going to learn while you're here. but kind of aligning it with the value proposition of IBM eServer. All right, with that I'm done. I thank you all for your attention, particularly without coffee. I know that there's coffee out there, but before you race out the door to get your Java, can I entertain any questions? Okay, coffee's out there to the right. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Is there anything that can tell us the lack of strategy that HP, Dell, EMC, Sun, you know what I mean? Like if you were to just throw in the little digs of the...
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Please tell me I turned this on. Okay.
Is there a recording?
Just so you know, the PeopleSoft trademark you have on there.
Okay.
It's
out of date. Okay, thank you.
They have a new one.
Okay.
Without the blue and red.
Okay.
It's just a black...
All right, I appreciate that. Oh,
hang on.
Please turn, if you remember, your evaluation, say go, the nice lady in the back takes them, so that way you can be confidential if you didn't like what I did or whatever. That nice lady in the back. And then she's going to bring them to me so I can read them. So anyway, thank
Great
you all. Thank you very
Great
much. Job. Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you, I work with Canelli all the time. In fact, I'm calling.
Did you really?
I'm calling him this afternoon.
John, I still talk about him.
That we can give to customers, I would assume.
This is a customer presentation.
That's great. I would, hang on. It would be to have you actually out there doing a great job.
Well, thank you. Someone just asked me, is this a customer presentation? This is the customer presentation. This is what you can deliver. You might take the next steps off, although that might be something you want to guide your customer through. Okay.
Competitive marketing team. Get with them. Ron Dombrowski heads up the competitive big play, right? And he will lead you to the right source. But that would be the way to do it. They're all over that stuff.
You know, when the first
here we go. We'll get you set up here in a sec.
No hurry.
Doing this fine, and you?
What are you doing your thing on?
Huh?
What are you doing?
I don't know. I never know what I'm doing.
Until it pops
you
up.
Know that well enough. Gosh.
That's not true. I didn't think I was in. I didn't see a competitive session. What are you doing?
It's an ES session.
Oh.
It's a meet and beat the competition. You might what?
I'll probably stay now that I know.
Now that you know that I'm here?
Well, let me see, maybe I got just got that messed up.
By the way, I jumped all over Bill Maron the other day.